putting your financial house in order with Dominion Investment Group, joined today by Project Lifesaver, Chief Saunders, founder and CEO, and Candy Spitz, ambassador for Project Lifesaver, as well as South Florida speaker for Autism Speak. Now, Candy, you shared a lot with your personal life and your twin boys. You mentioned the stairs. Parents don't realize. Just like I said, my wife and I are sitting there. You don't realize what people are dealing with. And I can tell you, I'm hypersensitive, even though my daughter is the warlord. I don't let her warlord when we're outside of the home. But quite often, it's not necessarily that a child's acting up. There could be other things that parent's dealing with. Yeah. What should parents, share with our listeners, share with me, what should we be aware of? Because it's not just you. There's thousands of kids across this country, families that are dealing with this.
Well, that's the problem. Is there's so many kids anymore, whether it be from environmental reason, whatever's causing this, that are either on the spectrum for autism, have ADHD, have OCD, have all of these little quirks that are all interrelated. And every child is different. Identical twin boys, mirror image twins, whose autism affects them completely different. There's not one common trait. So I said, for me as a person, it's made me less judgmental when I see things.
Right.
Because you're not realizing to these kids, whether it's autism or ADHD, whatever, you're walking into a room and you as a regular, typical person says, okay, the wall's green in here, right. It's whatever color. Now to them, they're looking around and everything is sensory. They're seeing the pictures on the walls, just and the clock is ticking, the microphone is making a hum. All of these little things are like a constant distraction. So it's like this noise that's in your head. And then on top of that, people are laughing, talking, playing. Mommy's trying to ask you questions. And it's almost like there's too much going on and they can't process it. So not only they might not understand what you're saying, they might not be able to block out the noise. So they're going to snap. It's not a meltdown. They just literally cannot think straight. And you know how it gets when you're like busy at work and things like that. Imagine that 24 hours a day. If every single thing smells bothered you, sounds bothered you, and for every kid it's different, so you can't just say, everybody take pictures off the wall. Paint your walls the same color. Something's going to set you off, whether it happens to be the grass, the sky, the air. I have a kid who, when he gets excited, covers his ears. People look at him, is it too loud? Am I talking too loud? Is the music too loud? No, he's just excited. The other one covers his eyes. There's no explanation. So it's just for everybody to notice that if you see something odd going on, the child is safe. Don't judge. Don't stare at the parent. Don't wonder. They're having a hard enough time trying to figure out themselves what's going on and how can I fix this, that they don't need someone else coming up, especially giving advice, which is the worst thing in
right.
the world.
Right.
For me, it's actually funny because so many people know about autism now and they know the symbol for Autism Speaks, the puzzle piece.
Right.
I have a tattooed on my wrist.
Right.
Most of the time, when you're reaching for your kid, you see something, people will notice this now. In the beginning, they didn't. And leave me alone. And I said, if I would have known that, I would have tattooed this all over my body because I have friends who are constantly, they have business cards that they hand out that says, this is autism. Just because we just don't need that. You're having a hard enough time trying to process and you just don't need someone's critical advice when it's a hard world to navigate through.
Right, right.
You talked a little bit about music. Do they process that?
Music was actually one of the first therapies that brought them out when they were about 2 years old. They couldn't talk. They couldn't do anything else. But they did music therapy up until they were close to three. And they could sing anything. Even one of my sons, who doesn't say a lot of words, he can hit perfect pitch on anything, whether it be classical music to heavy metal. Perfect pitch and sing along, but
That's
not
amazing.
Have the words. Both of them. Everybody has their strengths and weaknesses. For my kids, guitars, drums, singing brings them out, and computers.
Do you think that was just the way the chips fell, or do you think that was from being exposed to the music industry?
Yeah, I don't really know, because they're very, and it's funny because they're very critical, and I laugh. I said part of that could be who their father is. From the time they were born, they were always on tour, and they would be on stage, and if it wasn't heavy metal, they would cry. They would cry and cry and cry and cry. Any kind of easy listening mainstream music, they don't do it as much anymore, but if they were in a metal concert, they would stay up until midnight. Zombies, like Rob Zombie, Megadeth, all these people,
right.
Slipknot, Flames, Evil and stuff, makeup. And I kept going, by the time they hit two, I'm going, oh my God, they're going to be terrified.
Yeah,
they're going to have nightmares.
Right.
And they would laugh and giggle, and they're up the whole time watching. So, I don't know which parts of this is autism, what part of this is genetics. And I always laugh that when they rebel, when they hit teenage years, I don't know what they're going to do to me because it might be a Britney Spears at this point. I don't know what they would rebel with.
Oh, we'll hope not. Oh, great. I'm going to get a letter on that one. Now, Kenny, what are some of the things that, that parents, so just like you said, I agree with you on the judgment. I say you never ever know what somebody's dealing with. You never know what they, but from an interaction standpoint, and I want you to tackle this first because then I want the chief to come in. What are some of the things that our listeners should know, even from an interaction standpoint? Because the normal reaction of a lot of people might be to reach down and grab a kid with all, or get in their face or something. I mean, normal things that a parent might do that it's a different ballgame now.
It is a different ballgame because some of our kids like to be touched. Some of our kids do not like to be touched. Some of them want to, say, have a stuffed animal or something like that. And some kids, my kid's going to throw that stuffed animal. So you have to kind of just watch, and that's a lot of what you'll hear Chief talk about. You have to kind of learn from the parents and kind of watch their reaction and don't overstep their boundaries because they know their kids best. There's no easy answer of what's going to affect one kid. I said I have twins with autism, not one similarity. So it's just a matter of just kind of taking it all in, trying to feel them out.
Right.
Don't, you know, if you're going to say something to someone, just ask a question, even if it's an adult with autism. Give them a few seconds to process because a lot of times their brain has to repeat it back in their head before they can formulate a thought and get it back out. And if you're still talking to them, they can't block out the noise to process. So say something calming, you know, stand there calming, you know, not, you know, don't keep going. It's not a regular kid. Don't ask questions. Don't do any of the anything you know is normal.
Don't toss them in the air.
Don't do it. Yeah, don't toss them in the air.
<I'm kidding.
laughs> Some might like it, some might not. But it's you never know. So it's more of just watching and observing and trying to see how to handle the situation. And we're always just taught that, you know, if they're having a meltdown, as long as they're safe.
Right.
They're, you know, they're in a safe spot. They can't hurt their head. They can't do those kind of things. Let them do what they need to do. You know, it's not hurting anybody. And I've done it, you know, and there's some tricks. I mean, like one of my kids likes pressure. I have to lay pillows on top of him and basically lay on top of him. And I've had stares that I'm smothering my child.
Right.
And it's the it's the most calming thing in the world for him. So, you know, I said, just take a step back and observe and approach it calmly.
And Chief, this is incredibly important on your side of the house because a lot of people, as we started a program, Project Lifesaver being a way to bring loved ones home, but it's not just about that. A big part of your role is teaching law enforcement how to work with, how to communicate. And a lot of people take that for granted because, you know, if a law enforcement person came up to me and said this, that I know how to react or how I think I'd react to it, hasn't happened to me. But it's a different ballgame because, you're dealing with a person with Alzheimer's or autism. How do you guys go about training the officers in the field?
Well, you know, in thinking back, we were probably one of the first organizations that ever really tackled the, if you want to call it problem or however you want to characterize it, situation of dealing with autistic children or persons with autism. And a lot of it we learn, as Candy said, by talking to the parents. You know, one of the things that law enforcement officers ran into initially was, and she was talking about referring to talking and asking questions, is a trait that many autistic kids have called echolalia, where they'll repeat things back to you. What you say, they repeat it back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at first, if you don't know what you're dealing with, you may get the idea that they're mocking you. And we've had law enforcement officers have that. The other thing we've seen with autistic children is sometimes they're attracted to bright, shiny things. And you know, you got bright, shiny things all over your uniform. You got badges, pins. You've got a gun, you know. And many times there's been instances where the child would reach for the gun. And sometimes it wasn't a child. It was a pretty good-sized teenager. Well, that caused problems.
Yeah, I would bet.
There's an incident, and I don't remember exactly where it happened, where they responded to a prowler at night. It was an autistic teenager. He had a screwdriver in his hand. He did not respond to the commands to put it down. They didn't know what they were dealing with. They shot and killed the boy.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
So these are the kind of things that we've had to deal with in getting the word out to law enforcement.
Well, and of course, even in that situation, you can see both sides of it. The law enforcement person not being informed did what they were supposed to
they
do
did
as
what
they were trained.
Yes, I guess they
as
did.
They were trained.
But had they known, had they been informed, they might have approached this thing a little differently. And the outcome, we would have hoped, would have been much different.
Well, Chief and Candy, we, as you know, Dominion Investment Group has been a big supporter of Project Lifesaver. We continue to be. But as we wind up this hour, how can our listeners help out? So, someone that's listening right now is going to probably be inclined to help out one way or the other. How can they?
Well, I'll jump in and then I'll turn it over to Candy. One of the things that Candy is going to be doing for Project Lifesaver is many of the parents that are involved in this situation are financially strapped.
Right, sure.
And they can't afford, you know, the cost of a tracking unit or the monthly service fee that might go along with it. That in mind, we have are in the process of establishing a fund for autism that would help all of our agencies in being able to deal with that situation. If a family needs it and can't afford it, we would be able to provide it free of charge for at least a year. Candy has kindly enough, with her busy schedule and everything else that's going on, and you know the little bit of all the spare time that she has, has agreed to spearhead this effort for us to raise the money to establish this fund that we can, you know, then be able to dip into it and help these particular families. So, Candy?
Well, for me, I kind of had to, because what no one's realizing is it doesn't matter where your income level is. I mean, as you mentioned, I have tons of friends who are professional athletes. Obviously, right. We're musicians, down to every walks of life. We're all in debt over autism. Therapy, most therapy is not covered by insurance. Mm-hmm. The, you know, all the extras that you need, the special toys, special clothes, special mm-hmm. food, special diet, special medicines, it's astronomical. So if you have to sit here and say, you know, okay, I can spend this amount of money a month on a tracking device, monthly service fee, et cetera, or I can get my child another hour of therapy, which one are you going to choose?
Right, right.
So, you know, it's a game that we play every day of what's more important, your safety or your daily survival. So this is really important. And I know a lot of families right now who need this, even in our Palm Beach community, who gorgeous homes, working incredible jobs, and they just cannot afford anything else for autism. So this is very important in here. And this is in a community where we can actually afford
right.
stuff like this. I mean, I've talked to people all over the world that don't have half the services that we mm-hmm. have here in Palm Beach County, Martin County. So this is an incredible opportunity that if we can give back just one little thing, just one stress reliever monthly, and take away a monthly service fee, get a tracking device, just some other peace of mind, it would help so many people. So.
And Chief, the cost how can of our one tracking device for a year, $345.
Yeah, not
we're
a
not
big
talking
number.
A lot of money.
Chief, how can our listeners get in touch with you?
They can go to our website at projectlifesaver.org, and there is a donate button there. They can call us 757-546-5502, and we would welcome their call. We're looking for donations. We need help to do this. We can't do it on our own. Nobody can. But as I said, $342 would help protect an autistic child for a year.
Yeah, no, it's a drop in the bucket for most of us. Well, Candy, I appreciate you coming up from
Thank
Palm
you.
Beach and joining us. Enjoyed your speech out in Nevada. Look forward to working with you. And, Chief, appreciate all the work that you and your team does.
Thank you.